8, this is Houston, R.
Go ahead, Houston, how do you read?
Yeah, Roger, we're reading you loud and clear. We're on a private loop now, and we'd like to get some amplifying details on your medical problem. Could you go back to the beginning and give us a brief recap, please?
Mike, this is Frank. I'm feeling a lot better now. I think I got a case of the 24-hour flu, intestinal flu.
Roger, understand. And when did you first notice it? Or could you go back to poo and start us out with the beginning of your problem?
Roger, about, I guess about 20 hours, 19 hours yesterday.
Roger, understand. About 19 hours yesterday. We were confused by something Jim said in reference to getting out of the suits. He said that he felt a little bit uneasy when he first got out of the couch and started to get out of the suits, and that had passed away, and that you and Bill had, we think, noticed similar things when you took your suits off. Is this so?
Just when you get out of the seats and start moving around for a while.
Roger, understand. We understand this does cause nausea in all three of you when you've all noticed it when you've gotten out of the seats for the first time or any time, is that right?
Roger, uneasiness, not nausea really, but a sort of an awareness of motion, like the zero-G airplane.
Roger, understand.
I think that certainly there are some these, but I don't think that there's anything that's significant just because we happen to be 120,000 miles from the Earth here. I don't think there's anything magic about that. In other words, that's doing anything here or has altered their reactions because of their clocks. We are tampering somewhat with biological clocks, as you know, just because of the sleep cycles the way we're going here, and that. Fatigue can certainly render us more susceptible to things, and we want to try and avoid that as much as possible. So I don't think, in one sense, I really don't think that anything is magic or mysterious about just space itself here. I think that the confinement of being in a vehicle does pose problems for us from an infectious illness standpoint, and it's strange. I hope every Apollo flight is not going to be like this.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
Apollo 8, you are go for TLI. Over.
Roger, understand. We're go for TLI.
We see ignition. Lovell confirms ignition. And the thrust is okay, Booster says. Flight Dynamics says we look good, flight. Velocity is now 33,000 feet per second. And from Hawaii, we are getting a visual report. The people in Hawaii are observing the burn from on the ground.
Apollo 8, Houston, you're looking good. Right down the old center line.
Roger, Apollo 8.
I don't think the launch phase could have been any prettier. From our point of view, everything looked great. The booster did his usual fine job. The insertion was almost perfect. We seem to have reasonable communications all the way up. As far as the Earth parking orbit phase, everything appeared normal to us. We were all satisfied that the booster was in good shape for TLI and the spacecraft. All of our data indicated things occurred within 1 or 2 seconds of when we had predicted them to occur. The spacecraft looks good, and all systems, all areas look good in the spacecraft. The booster is essentially through with this mission, and it's done a magnificent job.
was a great feeling. I never had any doubt that we'd be able to give them a go for TLI, and of course, I think we were excited on the ground about it very much, so I'm sure they were on board the spacecraft, although they came back rather matter-of-factly. I think, as you know, that tends to be the case in these flights when there are a long sequence of fast-paced events laid together. The crew is always looking toward the future, and I'm sure right after the TLI burn, although they were very impressed by the fact they were on their way, their attention was devoted forward in the flight plan to the next tasks coming up for them.
We are receiving light scattering in the scanning telescope. It takes the form mostly of a wide band of light right across the center of the scope, about 10 degrees in either direction of zero. It's very difficult to see stars in this area. The realignments have been good. I have been able to pick up the star in the sextant to do the alignment, but I was not able to identify the star which we used. The first star sightings of which I took of the Earth showed a very indistinct horizon, but there did appear to be a very, or somewhat sharp line between what appeared to be the Earth's horizon and the atmosphere.
Boy, it's really hard to describe what this Earth looks like. I'm looking out my center window, which is a round window, and the window is bigger than the Earth is right now. We can clearly see the Terminator. I can see most of South America, all the way up through Central America, Yucatan, and the peninsula of Florida. There's a big swirling motion just off the east coast. And then going over towards the east, I can still see West Africa, which is has a few clouds right now. We can see all the way down to Cape Horn in South America.
Good grief, it must be quite a view.
Yeah, tell the people in Tierra del Fuego to put on their raincoats. Look like a storm is out there.
I can pick up the moon, and the sky, the space around the moon was a very light blue, just about as light blue as we have it back on Earth. And it's not black.
Frank Borman reported an upset stomach. He has taken some medication, and he is apparently feeling better. He so reported to Dr. Barry. And Bill Anders reported he wasn't feeling his best. We don't know whether it's some sort of virus or just what, but I'm sure Chuck Berry will have more for us at the change of shift briefing today.
Apollo 8, this is Houston.
Yes. Go ahead.
Frank, this is Chuck. The story we got from the tape and from Jim a while ago went like this. That some 10 to 11 hours ago, you had a loose BM, you vomited twice, you have headache, you've had some chills, and they thought you had fever. Is that affirmed?
Everything's true, but I don't have a fever now. I slept for a couple hours, and the nausea's gone. I'm controlling the loose BM. I think everything's in good shape now.
Did you have a sore throat?
The roof of my mouth is sore, Roger.
And it, as we understand it at the moment, Frank, the neither Bill nor Jim have anything at the present time except some nausea. Is that right?
No, we don't have any. None of us are nauseated now. We're all fine now.
Okay, and you have taken the Lomotil?
No, we haven't. Oh, wait, pardon me. Yes, they have.
They have, and you have not?
Roger, I just woke up, Chuck. They took them while I was asleep.
Okay, I think you ought to take one, Frank, and the Marazine will help if that nausea returns. The Marazine will knock that...
Houston, we're going to start doing this wastewater dump down to 25%. You concur?
We don't know, Bill. If you can stand by one, we're isolated from those experts at this time.
The Interstellar Times, latest edition, says the flight to the moon is occupying prime space on both the paper and television. It's the news story. The headline in the Post says, Moon, here they come. We understand that Bill Anders will be in private conversation or communication today with an old man who wears a red suit and lives at the North Pole. A suspect in the Miami kidnapping was captured late yesterday, and 11 GIs who'd been detained 5 months in Cambodia were released yesterday and will make it home in time for Christmas. And some really big news, the State Department announced only a few minutes ago that the Pueblo crew will be released at 9 p.m. tonight, over.
That's a mighty nice view we have down there today, a little bit more than a half Earth. Looks like Africa and the Red Sea is visible. I'm not quite sure, there's quite a bit of cloud cover. But even through the hazy windows, it's mighty nice.
One of the first things that we did was to take a look at the flight plan for the remainder of the shifts, particularly in view of the trajectory that we're on. We had a mid-course maneuver point scheduled for something like 28 hours elapsed, and what we spent the first couple of hours or so deciding was whether or not we needed to make that mid-course. It turned out that we did not.
All of the men have gotten on the order of 6, 4, 5 hours sleep in the last 8. In asking Jim Lovell about it this morning, there were no reports of any additional medication taken in the last 8 hours. Jim's comment was that they were feeling fine at this time and they didn't have any troubles. I made a subjective remark at the beginning that I felt that Bill Anders this morning sounded just like he does in the simulations. And I also made the point that probably when we have one or two guys sleeping, the other guys tend not to prolong conversations or chat because that kind of disturbs the other guy, and we'll see some of that today still, I think.
Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
Just checking in with you after about a 45-minute quiet period. Say, we noticed on your high-gain antenna, if you like, you can get a little bit more use out of it by switching to it from an Omni when you have a yaw angle of 90 degrees, 90, and a pitch angle of minus 45 degrees. We're noticing that you're staying maybe an extra 10 minutes on the Omni, which is fine, but you could get more use out of the high gain if you use that procedure, over.
Okay, thank you. It's a lot simpler for us as long as the Omnis are working. We got it all wrapped up here on the eight ball, and when the roll bug points to an Omni number, we just switch it. It makes it a lot easier if it's not bothering you.
Okay, that's fine.
The accuracy that we're getting with the onboard navigation system in this, its first application out there in that environment, is really very good as far as we can tell. For example, after the last set of star lunar horizon marks, during the course of which Jim Lovell had trouble with one star because the sun got close to the field of view. However, with those sightings, the command module pilot with the computer on board was able to predict the perilune or the lowest altitude he will have up as he goes by the moon. The number he got this morning, I think, was 66 miles, which is within just a few miles of the latest prediction that we are getting from the worldwide tracking network, that number being about 70 at this time. And for this geometry and for these systems, that is excellent agreement.
We'd like also to get a current up-to-date report on all your windows. We're trying to make some alternate plans for using the center hatch window when you're in lunar orbit, and we'd like to make sure we understand exactly what the condition of all five windows is. Over.
Window number one and number five were clouded, but maybe partially useful. The hatch window is very badly clouded. Windows two and four are good.
Okay, I understand the hatch window is unusable, one and five are partially usable, and the rendezvous windows are both good.
Right.
If you could maneuver toward the terminator, that's the part of it we're missing. We're getting the lighted portion. There you go, that's fine. Stop it right there.
Okay, for colors, the waters are all a sort of a royal blue. Clouds, of course, are bright white. The reflection off the Earth appears much greater than the moon. The land areas are generally a brownish, sort of dark brownish to light brown in texture. Many vortices of clouds can be seen of various weather cells. And that long band of Sirius clouds that extend from the entrance to the Gulf of Mexico going straight out across the Atlantic. The Terminator, of course, cuts through the Atlantic Ocean right now, going from north to south. Southern hemisphere is almost completely clouded over. And up near the North Pole, there's quite a few clouds. Southwestern Texas and southwestern United States is clear. I'd say there's some clouds up in the northwest and over in the northeast portion.
Well, I hope that everyone enjoyed the picture that we're taking of themselves. How far away from Earth now, Jim, about?
We have you about 180,000.
Looking at yourself. Right, you're all looking at yourselves to see from 180,000 miles out in space.
Mike, what I keep imagining is if I'm some lonely traveler from another planet, what I think about the Earth. Well, I'm just kind of curious whether I would land on the blue or the brown part of the Earth.
You better hope we land in the blue part.
So are we, babe.
Jim is always for land landing.
In terms of the spacecraft, it's performing beautifully. All systems are go. Everything looks very good on the spacecraft in all areas. Our consumables and so forth, we're in good shape all the way around. The network performance has been very good. We're continuing to experience excellent results with our tracking situation. I think you're all aware that the communications has been very good.
Well, in general terms, you get more information from taking these sightings relative to the closer of the two bodies. So generally, when you're close to the Earth, you'd use the Earth horizon. When you're close to the Moon, you'd use the Moon horizon. That's not a pure true statement, because it's better yet to incorporate a mix of the two, to start out with the emphasis on the close body and to phase in more and more sightings on the distant body, and as you get to the equidistant point, well, then they're equally important, and then you switch your emphasis to the closer body. So you see what I mean? We'd be shifting from Earth horizon to Moon horizon as we go to the Moon.
No, we had a check with them earlier in the shift, and they indicated that there has been no further signs of illness and that they are all feeling fine.
Based on information passed back from the crew on that mid-course correction and our figures here on the ground, it appears that the maneuver was within about 0.2 foot per second of being right on the nominal. And that would put us very close to the pre-planned Paracynthian of 61 and a half nautical miles. We, of course, will be tracking the spacecraft following this maneuver to determine just exactly what effect it did have. But that was the pre-planned. And that maneuver would have had the effect then of lowering the Paracynthian by about 6 or 7 nautical miles.
Our thoughts are to make it do the best with what we have. We are not interested in changing a lot of things right now, Ken.
Okay, the one proposal that sounds like it has some advantage to it, if we let Jim do his evaluation through the telescope, you do everything exactly the same except you turn and roll over 180 degrees so that your head's up